The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, welcome back. Sitting here looking at this every day, this parade of almost unbelievable headline news stories that come and go, always putting things, aggregating, trying to put the most meaningful things that I would suggest you spend some of your precious time at least considering. It's bad out there and getting worse all the time. I kid you not. This is not a joke. And don't play games. And if you have to go into the hospital, give this thought well beforehand, like right now, even when you don't know you might end up in the hospital. You need to plan this out. What you do not want given to you under any circumstance, you have to threaten them. You have to just lay it out. Don't threaten them, so to speak, but lay it out legally. You give me these shots or any of these protocols without my permission, and I will sue. Simple. Keep that paper with you. Hospitals are turning into slaughterhouses. I'm not joking. I'm not overstating this at all. Please pay attention. Many, many doctors shouldn't be in the field of medicine. Their attitude is wrong. I've got another report now of doctors literally laughing behind their own patients' backs at them. Think about this. What kind of a mentality does that? Sick. Sickening. Here's one little quickie. One nurse, she's one of three in an entire hospital on staff who did not take the bioweapon jab. She refuses to use any bathrooms in the hospital, unless it's, I guess, in another end of the wing, because of the diseases and illnesses she is witnessing every day. I've got that. I'm going to put that up later on tonight as well. This is really bad. Everything Nurse Ann said on the programs in the past about how bad and dangerous hospitals are, it's that bad and worse. And the validation of it comes in nonstop. All right. It's Wednesday. At least yesterday was Wednesday. That means William Gein is with us tonight. We had to shift things around because of Harry Cooper going off to Germany for his tour. So we thank our guests for that. Welcome back, William. How are you?
Well, I'm trying not to get discouraged. It's been a tough day. The SAVE Act, which we fully endorsed and supported, is attached to a continuing resolution, which we lobbied Congress to do. But it's been withdrawn from the floor for a second time due to a lack of enough votes to pass it. And
who pulled it? Who did this?
Speaker Johnson has to pull it because he's got about 12 to 14 Republicans who are balking, and most of them are not balking because of the SAVE Act specifically. Most of them, like Rep. Massey and others, are saying that they're balking because it gives the Democrats too much money for, I think, 6 months. When they favored a more detailed approach to the budget, they favor a shorter continuing resolution for 3 months instead of six. And Matt Gaetz and Massey have said that they feel that the SAVE Act, that it's a political pageantry, and the SAVE Act will be removed at the end of the process, and that a clean CR will be passed, which, of course, is a prediction, a forward-looking statement. But none of that is a reason that we shouldn't be fighting for the SAVE Act. And one of the things I want to discuss very carefully and cautiously is that something different has happened in regards to this lobbying campaign that ALEPAC supports that hasn't happened before. We've had some what I consider to be mis or disinformation injected right into our social media, our phone lines, and some of the listeners of this program, have been told things about the SAVE Act recently that are not true. And what they've been told is that the SAVE Act somehow codifies the 14th Amendment, making illegals born on U.S. soil U.S. citizens, when, in fact, that's already the widely accepted interpretation of the 14th Amendment at this time. I disagree
like
with that interpretation. I don't like it, the interpretation of it. But everybody that's born on U.S. soil right now is considered a U.S. citizen, and until Congress passes a bill stating clearly that is not the interpretation that should be used, it's going to remain that way. And the SAVE Act does not accelerate that, codify that, strengthen that, any of that. Also, there's nothing in this bill has anything to do with the United Nations, and it is not, as some headlines on News with Views would have us believe, diabolical. And as someone posted on ALEPAC's Facebook page today, this is not a betrayal by, quote, trusted conservatives. Let me tell you, the small fraction, the portion of Republicans in the United States Congress that are concerned about removing non-citizens from the 2024 and future elections, they're all we got. They're all we got, people.
Mm-hmm.
They're all we got.
Let me ask you a question. I'm surprised to hear you say Gaetz and Massey are kind of sidestepping this. That's kind of interesting.
Well, they're both very showy. They're showmen. You know, they both like to do their
politics.
Thing.
We got it.
Yeah. And you know, there's deals that can be cut and things that could be had and points to be made by doing things in this way. And with the Republicans having such a very narrow margin in Congress, it only takes a few handfuls to really stymie things. But just want to make sure everybody's clear that this does not codify the 14th Amendment. The SAVE Act does not give illegal alien kids citizenship that they already get. It does not empower the United Nations. And I want to point out something about this disinfo that has been injected into the listenership of this program. And I'll tell you why I think it's there. I think it's there because I think the powers that be are quite aware of how influential what we've been doing over here is. They know that this is a stronghold, if you will, of lobbying effort on immigration-related stuff, and I think that the timing, Jeff, because I know you've seen, you're an old hand at this, you've got a lot of experience, the timing of things, you can tell so much by the timing of things. Did any of us read any articles or hear anybody complain about the SAVE Act when it was first rolled out 4 or 5 months ago?
No,
ALEPAC endorsed it.
They ignored it.
There was nothing that when it went through the committee process, did anybody throw a fit about it? Did any of the ALEPAC activists who are reading the legislation and tracking the legislation raise any specters of birthright citizenship in the United Nations being diabolical amongst conservatives you thought you could trust, but you can't? None of that happened when it was passing the House to head towards a Senate that it had very low probability of passing in. the disinformation, misinformation about the bill designed to get people to not fight on behalf of it suddenly emerged when a path to signature into law emerged, sticking it on a must-pass funding resolution that if the Senate wants to reject.
Who put it on that resolution? Who tagged it on there like that? Who did that?
Speaker Mike Johnson.
It was all Johnson again. Okay.
Well, I mean, the Speaker has the final say on what goes into a bill and what doesn't, and what goes to the floor and schedules to the floor. And Trump wanted it, and we wanted it, and he's done it. Now, if the CR fails now in the House, the left is going to say it's because the SAVE Act was in it.
When you say CR, please define CR. What do you mean?
Continuing resolution. If they don't vote on a continuing resolution or somehow back up and do a full budgetary process in 2 weeks, which I don't think is like humanly possible, even if they worked around the clock for 2 weeks.
No.
If they don't pass a CR by October 1st, the initial phases of a government shutdown, which we've all been through many times before, begins. And they start shutting down parks and things that don't matter, and they keep the military running and, you know, the different phases. But
so the shutdown date, what is the target date for the shutdown, again, as we roll through this for the 50,000th time? What is it?
October 1.
Oh, all right.
October 1. Now, the CR basically says, hey, government, we keep printing money, borrowing money, and funding everything just like we were doing for the next 6 months. And right. And I agree. I don't like some things about that. But I tell you, in 43 days, there's going to be an election that if the Democrats win, there's no voting our way out of it this time. There'll be another 10 million illegals dropped on our heads. There'll be, if you're in a town or a small town like Springfield, Ohio, you'll probably get your dose of 15 or 20,000 Haitians or Congolese or whatever they figure they need to inject to keep you busy from now on out. But there's not going to be any voting our way out of this anymore. We may already be past that point. And the lawfare and the assassination attempts that you see Donald Trump facing, those are all going to fan out and go to other people. And conversations like this, I mean, I hope everybody's paying attention to what Hillary Clinton just said. I hope everybody's paying attention to the bill.
She's really up. She's off the wall. That woman is getting wacky.
This conversation will become illegal. This program, the Jeff Rentz program and William Gein and Alipac will all become illegal. And they will come after us when Trump is down. Whether they keep chewing on Trump or not, I don't know. He may be able to cut a deal and crawl in a hole somewhere without going to prison. Okay, but all that lawfare and all those cases, you see, it's going to get fanned out, and
his
it's
sentencing,
all over.
Remember, his sentencing was originally to happen on the 18th, a day or two ago? And that didn't happen. Now it's pushed up after the election, that November 26th, something like that. Anyway, so we'll see.
In my calculus, there is nothing more important than getting every non-citizen that's going to vote Democrat off the voter rolls as possible over the next 40 days. And the number one way to do that in the most places and cases is through the SAVE Act. And the only way that the SAVE Act could possibly become law and before this election, which still could be too late. I mean, it could get passed all the way and signed into law by Joe Biden tomorrow, and it could technically be too late for it to have an impact to save us from what is planned for us. But here's the way it works. If the House, if these 12 or 14 Republicans will get
rhinos
on board. Well, some of them are not rhinos. I think some of them are principled, but for whatever case, you know, we've got people who listen to this program and are in the Alipac social media thing who are actually calling Congress to oppose the SAVE Act because they read it was going to give illegal alien kids citizenship and bring the UN and the Blue Helmets in with the devil. Okay. And that's
I don't understand how the confusion could arise. You can't have it both ways. It's one or the other.
Well, I think some very powerful people are very glad to see dissent and confusion injected.
Well, they love chaos. We know that.
Well, especially when all of a sudden the SAVE Act has a path to completion. Like I said, we didn't have this disinfo going around during the process, during the last 4 months of us working up to this point. Only when the SAVE Act was attached to the must-pass government funding continuing resolution in the House did this misinfo start getting injected into places that were organizing in support of the SAVE Act being on the CR. Because here's how it can happen. If enough people in the U.S. House will get together. The Republicans, the 12 stray Republicans, will join and say, you know what? I don't like all this government spending, but you know what? If the Democrats win with their non-citizen voters, how much do you think they're going to spend? How much resistance?
They've already done it 4 years ago.
Well, there's obviously no chance ever again in the United States of Matt Gaetz restricting any type of spending ever again if they use the illegals to take full and permanent control of the U.S. in 43 days. And so that makes the SAVE Act the top priority. You know, and a lot of people around this election, Tulsi Gabbard, Democrat, doesn't agree with Trump on everything, thinks that we're very close to a nuclear Armageddon and destruction, has decided to make that her top issue because, you know, that's more important than how we may disagree over the environment and taxes and spending. You know, RFK, he's concerned about the American public being poisoned through our own food supply, and he disagrees with a lot of things about Trump and other Republicans say, but he's decided to set those things aside. So we're all in a triage situation here where we need, because here's the thing, if the House passes the CR with the SAVE Act in it, the Senate has to either approve it or reject it. If they reject it, the government shuts down unless the House takes it out. If the House refuses to take it out and the Senate won't vote for it, then the government shuts down. And it stays shut down. And it keeps shutting down more and more and more and more and more until
either
the House...
Well, it's like a slow avalanche. I understand. I get it.
Right. Until either the House removes the SAVE Act to create a clean CR or the Senate votes for it. Let's say the Senate votes for it and the SAVE Act...
I don't know. What the hell... I don't know why he would... Who's controlling Mike Johnson, number one? Number two, putting it on as an addendum, so to speak, is either a very slick move on his part or his controller's part, or there's a monumental stupidity on how government runs. This had nothing to do with shutting the country down.
Yeah, but we wanted that. We want that because it's the only way to get the CR into law. I mean, to get the only way the SAVE Act can possibly become law before the 2024 elections is attached to the CR.
Otherwise, they'll just put it on the back shelf.
Otherwise the Senate will not vote for it, will not take it up, or if they do vote on it, they'll vote it down, and it goes nowhere, and all the non-citizens vote.
I would like to repeat what I've said before. If they install the camel and waltz, that's the end. That is the end of America. We are now a formally communist nation state, controlled by international money and robber barons and you name it. And we're being pushed, obviously, to the very threshold of nuclear war. How much more gaming can be played before the Russians say, we're done? And they've just about said that. I don't know if you heard this, but last Friday, a week ago tomorrow at 2 a.m., we think a Russian cruise missile from a submarine was fired into Washington State and exploded at the 2,300-foot elevation above the Joe Creek Naval Submarine Communications Base. It's a secret facility. It's top priority. We think that was a shot across the bow. The Russians said, look, we know where your nerve centers are. We'll take them out. You better stop. Now, the U.S. Geological Survey called this, at first, an unknown event. Now, in the last day or two, they've changed and they're saying it was an earthquake. BS. It was a 2.3 magnitude Richter. That's how big the blast was. Whatever it was it an EMP? Was it a Russian missile at all? I don't know. But it was a very strange event announced by the U.S. Geological Survey. There you go.
Well, anybody that's fighting against the SAVE Act and the CR right now is fighting for non-citizens to vote, which is opposed by over 80% of the U.S. population of all races. And if it were to pass in the House and then the Senate tried to stop it, then 80% of the American public may hear the news that the reason the government is shutting down and the bill won't pass is because certain senators are protecting non-citizen voters. And they're like, non-citizen voters, I heard that wasn't a thing. What? You mean some states just removed a lot? Public awareness is rapidly accelerating upward about the actual situation with non-citizen voters because the SAVE Act is in a CR that's causing the government to shut down because these rhinos in the Senate won't pass it. All of a sudden, let's say the Senate passes it, and it goes to Biden's desk. And Biden's like, I'm going to keep the government shut down because I'm going to veto the bill because I don't want it to stop non-citizen voters. odors. It opens all these cans of worms all over these people. Picture yourself popping open a huge tin of worms and shaking it on Biden and Schumer's head, okay, and saying, yes, let's fight about the SAVE Act. Let's discuss it. Let's argue over it. Let's shut the government down over it. Let's talk about it, because the articles are still rolling, Jeff. I just fired off another email at one of these and tweeted at one of these authors the other day. Non-citizen voters, which really isn't a thing, really isn't happening, really is nothing to speak of, nothing to see here. And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, well, they just pulled 17,000 off the voter rolls in four states, you moron. You know, you want to keep, you know, fighting against that.
It should be millions, ultimately, off the voter rolls. This is all crazy. I like to look at the bigger picture, the panorama, the broad view. Why are we even talking about this in the year 2024, in the so-called formerly United States of America? Why are we even discussing, what, anchor babies, first of all? Anybody born here as a citizen? This shouldn't even be on the table. We've lost it. We've lost our way. It's been engineered from the inside. You got to go all the way back to FDR and look at the communists back then to understand what's happened to this country.
Well, whether the SAVE Act will pass or not, or whether they remove it at the end or not, we're going to fight till the end of it. And I've had some things going on I don't like, Jeff. I've had somebody call this phone I'm on and try to talk me out of the SAVE Act support because they heard something was wrong with it. And when I asked him,
who called in? A sincere,
some frantic lady who had heard another guest on the program said that, oh, you know, William Gein, you're doing the wrong thing supporting the SAVE Act. And I tried to get her some specifics about what it was, and she couldn't tell me anything. And then I'll read you one over here on Facebook, right when I announced the other day, hey, everybody, SAVE Act is up for a vote today. Let's get on the phones. Let's rally the people to get on the phones and support that SAVE Act. And a Facebook account by the name of Ann Markwell says, those advocating the SAVE Act may want to reconsider the SAVE Act, a totalitarian Trojan horse. Quote, it's possible that many of the supporters of the SAVE Act are unaware of its true implications, but those who drafted the legislation likely understand its full impact. The bill flies in the face of the 14th Amendment.
It's only four. What is it, William? It's only four pages long, isn't it? Five? It's not a very big piece of material.
Chris Ann Hall, whoever that is, terrific explanation exposing the SAVE Act on 9/5 Kate Daly Show starting at 6:30.
Okay, Daly, I don't understand how something so relatively simple can be so confused. It's strange. Hold on just a minute. We'll come right back with William in these really momentous times. Stand by. Okay, welcome back. I looked at the J.D. Vance clip you sent, and he's getting better at his public presentations, his speaking.
It was amazing. Yeah. It was absolutely amazing. And
I got it ready to roll if you want to roll it.
And just about to close on the SAVE Act, the powers that be want us all squabbling amongst ourselves. That's what they want. And we need to be all moving together right now. We've got candidates out there that need help. We've got non-citizen voters we've got to get off the rolls. We've got a portion off them off in Texas, Ohio, Virginia, and Alabama.
We shouldn't even be discussing this. It should be flat out illegal, and the country should back it, and that should be the end of it. But it's not. We've got too many people who are stupid.
At least three Democrat-controlled states. We've got evidence of large numbers of non-citizens in North Carolina, Nevada, and Arizona. And our ALIPAC activists are currently deployed trying to pick those locks and put pressure on those states to do something about the non-citizens. We have to push there. We need everybody working together. There are people who are having dinners, people who are going to J.D. Vance rallies, people who are putting out campaign signs, people who are making phone calls, people who are writing checks, people who are doing things, who are engaged in this fight. And that's what we need people doing. We need everybody locked and stocked and deployed. Find out where the swing districts are around you. Find out where the county commissioners and the state house and senate are close calls or a congressional race, and get skin in the game. J.D. Vance, before you listen to this clip, and this clip is really important because J.D. Vance closed with these comments after opening the floor to some questions from the media. The question you're going to hear asked is by a young lady working with Politico, which we know is a highly biased left-wing.
It sounded like a skewed question, for sure.
Yes. And J.D., the way he handles things, he's very thoughtful and controlled and passionate.
I say he's getting better. I'm watching.
Well, and the message that you'll hear in this 3-minute clip is something that needs to be reverberate. But also, I want you to know when we're leaving, and I should have got a picture of these four ladies. Haitians for Harris. They're everywhere. Haitians for Harris. Now, they've adjusted their look a little bit, and they put Haitian Americans on their sign. Okay, but the four ladies, were holding up flags of Haiti, foreign flags, right where all the J.D. Vance rally attendees were coming out, and signs against xenophobia. And I walked past them. I said, this is still the United States, ladies. And I wish I'd taken their pictures, because people who are Haitian citizens are not supposed to be voting in U.S. elections, not outside of rallies, not trying to influence U.S. elections in any way. And if Kamala Harris thinks that Haitians for Harris is the type of message that's going to do her any good, then let it go forth. Make sure those swing and undecided voters out there all hear about Haitians for Harris. And you need to picture, if you don't have 15 or 20,000 Haitians dropped on your town yet, it's coming, baby. And that's no joke. Kamala Harris, you know, let me know where you live. If you're a Kamala Harris supporter, and I'll personally call her and ask her to send the Haitians to your town, too, so you can find out whether they are eating the dogs and eating the cats. You can find out when they become your new neighbors by the thousands in a short period of time.
Don't forget the voodoo, Santeria, and cannibalism does come in with Haiti. And the U.S. Coast Guard, I'll repeat it again, was formally ordered not to bar incoming cannibals from Haiti. Formally. That's a fact.
And what you're about to hear J.D. Vance explain about Kamala Harris and the immigration scheme of hers, it's perfect answer, and it needs to be heard across the country.
Yeah, it's good. The bigger problem here is, I don't know what the percentages are. What, 30-40%? Split it 40-40 and then 20 undecided, whatever. We have a massive problem here, and it will not be solved with simple efforts to re-educate those who have gone so far astray into Bolshevik, communist, Zionist protocols. It's bad. Hold on a second. Here's J.D. Vance.
Question for you about the Haitian migrants in Springfield.
Now, notice she says a question for you, and then she goes on and spews her dogma to make sure she gets out there, and then goes back to the idea of asking him a question. That's an old trick, old tricks.
So I know you've talked a lot about how we need to deport illegal aliens, but I wanted to ask you, the majority of the Haitians in Springfield came under TPS, so they are here legally. And I know you've expressed a lot of your issues with the TPS program and wanting to change that under a Trump-Vance administration. But I guess my question for you is, if you become the vice president under a Trump administration, what will you guys do about the migrants that are already there, since they did arrive legally? And a follow-up to that, if you plan to deport them, how would you do that legally?
Well, look, this is a media and Kamala Harris fact check that I want to clarify and clear up right now. And now, the media loves to say that the Haitian migrants, hundreds of thousands of them, by the way, 20,000 in Springfield, but hundreds of thousands of them all across our country, they are here legally. And what they mean is that Kamala Harris used two separate programs, mass parole and temporary protective status. She used two programs to wave a wand and to say, we're not going to deport those people here. Well, if Kamala Harris waves the wand illegally and says these people are now here legally, I'm still going to call them an illegal alien. An illegal action from Kamala Harris does not make an alien legal. That is not how this works. And again, I don't want to focus our attention, my friends, on how much the media is gaslighting us and lying to us about this. parole. We have, let's get into the weeds a little bit. We have a parole power in our immigration laws. And what that means is the president or the vice president can use the power to basically say, this one person, we are going to parole them from complying with our immigration laws on a case-by-case basis. Now, maybe there's some reason. Maybe it's a, you know, somebody helped us overseas and their life is in imminent danger. You can parole that person. What is fundamentally illegal is for Kamala Harris to say, we're going to grant parole, not on a case-by-case basis, but to millions of illegal aliens who are coming into this country. That does not magically make them legal because Kamala Harris waved the amnesty wand. That makes her border policy a disgrace, and I'm still going to call people illegal aliens. This.
Frankly, I wish that he and others would start calling them invaders. Go ahead.
Can you hear me cheering?
Yeah. Very good. All right. Here we go. All right.
Think about the shamelessness required from Kamala Harris. Temporary protective status. That is Kamala Harris through a government edict saying you're not allowed to deport people anymore. Those Border Patrol agents who want to do their job, that's Kamala Harris saying you are not allowed to deport people anymore. So Kamala Harris says you can't deport people, and then she says you're also now legal instead of illegal. That is completely bogus. That is straight out of George Orwell. None of us buy it. And here's the final point that I'll make on this. Who consented? Who in this room, who in this country consented to allowing millions of aliens to come into this country unchecked, unvetted? None of us did. None of us did. And the game the media has played here, again, this two-step that Kamala Harris does, I think it's the most disgraceful thing that she has done in her entire campaign. She's going to say, on the one hand, we're going to let in millions of illegal aliens to make your housing costs higher, to make your hospitals overwhelmed, to make your local schools impossible for your children to learn in. She's going to do that, and on the other hand, if you dare complain about it, you are a racist. Kamala Harris, I think that's disgraceful. You ought to have respect enough for your own people to enforce their border laws and listen to them. Listen to them when they complain about it. Don't pretend they're bad people. And look, I think I speak for every person in here, and I think I speak for a lot of people, a lot of undecided voters, but certainly a lot of Republicans, independents, and Democrats who are voting for Donald Trump. We are allowed, under the First Amendment to this country, to tell our leaders that they're doing a bad job. We are allowed, Kamala Harris, to tell you got to stop importing millions of low-wage foreigners into our country. We are allowed, Kamala Harris, to tell you can't jack up the cost of housing by giving foreigners homes instead of American citizens. We're not bad people for loving this country. You're a bad person for doing this to the country in the first place.
I wish more Americans could understand that we're literally facing down communism. This is the end. If we don't push this back now, it's over.
Yeah, but can you feel that? Is the energy coming through? I mean, I know you hear the crowd, and I know you hear what he's saying, but can you feel the energy?
What bothers me, William, is the simple fact that anybody is polling positive for Harris. It doesn't make any sense to me. These people are lost. How are you going to resurrect them as an intellectually competent part of our society? They're stupid. They're out of the game, and yet they're going to vote, and they have voice. And it's not a small number of people. Here, let's finish. Hold on.
Thank you. Well, I don't think I can top that one, everybody. So I think that was the last question.
That's pretty much the meat of it from there, Jeff.
He wraps up talking about
you know, Trump's assassination attempt and Donald Trump, you know, playing it off and staying cool and calm a few minutes after another assassination attempt. But
there's a story that there are five assassination teams in the country now. It's just an unsubstantiated story that's getting circulation. Wouldn't surprise me. If they really want to do it, they're going to do it. I don't know what's going on with this guy in Florida, but the first one, to me, it can be argued from both perspectives, that it was a complete fraud and setup, or it was a failed attempt. And I don't know which to, honestly, I don't know which to go with. Now, I would suggest that you need to understand this is very sophisticated stuff that's going on. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, Hillary Clinton came on and told us all the important things, and that was that if Trump didn't like getting shot at, maybe he should change what he's saying.
28% of Democrats would not mind at all if Trump were shot to death.
She came in. Oh, I've seen it. They're all on a bunch of them are online, all praising and encouraging.
It's not just a few people. That's a lot of people. We got big trouble.
You're right. You're right. Because Democrats are criminals. Democrats will kill. Democrats will kill millions. Their political brethren have killed millions since 1900. Yeah, these are the same personality archetypes that the communists and socialists have used to kill millions of people over the last 120 years.
True.
So
it's all true.
You know, so that, and that's what they'll do, and that's what I truly believe they will do if the illegal voters elect the Democrats, and you hear on November 6th that Kamala Harris has won, and the Democrats have taken control of the United States Senate and the United States Congress, and shortly after that, the U.S. Supreme Court, of course, they're coming for the guns, and then after they get the guns up and they do the full gun confiscation, that's when the real killing's going to start.
It's true. Yeah, no argument here.
Because everybody will be a defenseless fish in a barrel, and
right.
You know, and we'll go
look
from
at
the
any
more
country throughout history that has been disarmed, any country, and you'll see the same pattern. Look at Australia
so you think
right
that
now.
Illegals killing a bunch of citizens
Canada,
and a
right
bunch
now.
Of criminals. Yeah. In the cities, killing a bunch of people is bad. That all goes into hyperdrive, and
that's
you know,
cause,
and I don't want to be right about that. And I don't want to see that happen. I want to see that stopping that. But you know, that's why the next 40 days are so important, and getting people right. with skin in the game, and getting people engaged, and getting people, you know, to make peace with
are people,
what they want to do.
In some states already voting by mail? Are they allowing early voting?
Some of it starts really soon here in North Carolina. The voter registration deadline is in about 20 days, around October 11th, and I believe early voting starts in North Carolina on October 17th. But every state is different, and Republicans are playing it different this time. Republicans realize there's a lot of people that don't like to vote by mail, don't like to vote early, like to vote on Election Day, which is tradition. But then sometimes things happen on Election Day where you don't get to the polls like you planned on because somebody got sick or somebody fell down the steps or you had to stay at work or whatever. So Republicans are encouraging people to go ahead and vote with the early voting, go ahead and vote by mail. Because what will happen is, if you're a Republican or an unaffiliated voter that supports Republicans, if you go ahead and vote early, then they can remove you from their voter file tracking list, and their volunteers that are working on these campaigns can call somebody else who hasn't voted yet. So you can help streamline and make the Republican turnout process more, you know, effective by getting your vote out of the way early, and you can avoid, you know, mail and calls and stuff like that that won't need to be spent on you because right. they'll get a notification that your ballot has already been cast. And I'm going to be out there putting out signs. I'm going to be going and spending a little bit of money at barbecues and fundraising, and I'm going to be working a poll all day, and I'm going to be in call centers making phone calls. I'm going to get up and work in the morning on Alipack stuff and come back to it through the day, and when I'm not in here directly on it, I'm going to be like I was yesterday at a rally doing something. You know, I met new people to work with in parts of the state at the rally, like-minded folks that are very caught up on that message there, and you know, and what we're trying to accomplish. And one of the things I think is also, I think that if Trump wins the election, I think that the assassination attempts will probably calm down because not only will he have the power of the executive branch to go after the people doing this mess, but I think that the powers that be are a bit scared of JD. I think JD scares him. I think
it's
a little bit
suggest,
of assassination insurance because they'd probably rather have Trump than JD.
JD didn't get, he didn't fall off the turnip truck yesterday. He was placed. He's there for a reason. There are some very powerful people who would like to see him in the Oval Office. That will probably happen at some point if Trump is installed. Trump is what is he? How old is he now? 79? I forget.
Well, and even if Trump fully serves his whole term, then J.D. can run and be in there for 8 years if he does the right thing.
Or if Trump is unfortunately assassinated in his first year, J.D. will run 3 years and then be able to run twice more. That could be 11 years of J.D. Vance.
If we can win in 40-something days, we have a chance at getting a bunch of the non-citizens out. It's like a bomb, and we're the bomb squad, and we're going to cut the blue wire, okay? we're going to make steps to defuse this situation.
Right.
J.D. Vance is telling large audiences that he wants to deport 20 million people. And that's never been said before. That's never been done before. That's never been injected into and he said at the rally, there's another clip, he said all those people have to go home. All those people have to go back. Because that's really the only way that we get out of this situation. There's no way that America perseveres without ending up in the permanent blue Democrat California socialist tyrannical hellhole unless the non-citizens here illegally leave. And that must happen. And it will cause economic pain and some people economic benefits. But it's what ALIPAC stands for. It's what the current law stated it happened. It's what the Constitution says is going to happen. It's what a majority of Americans with any sense want to happen. And that's what we're dedicated to. We're not out of the game yet. Now, I might be singing a different tune on November 6th or whenever. Yeah, when you and I get back on the air on Wednesday, November the 6th, which is... Wow, that's just
after.
Right around. Yeah, that's just so close. And on the way to the J.D. Vance rally, now we heard the story that later they said was some type of rumor, really weird story about some explosives in a truck outside a Trump rally
in
New York.
I didn't come up with anything solid, but it's another one of those stories that doesn't have legs. It's just put out there, and then it kind of disappears so far.
Well, the other one that came to us as we were trying to make our way through the city to the event was that there was a mushroom cloud over part of Russia bigger than the one over Hiroshima because the...
That was a huge Russian ammunition depot. Huge. And it was hit with a missile. Not a drone, none of that. It was hit with a missile. Nobody knows, nobody's saying whose it was. But that dump was hit, and it went up, and I've got video of it online right now. It's a giant explosion after explosion. These are huge blasts. The old Soviet Union would have called this a massive catastrophe. This is a lot of ammunition. What they call it now, though, was a fire. This is a formal Russian government statement. Oh, it was just a fire. No, it was a missile, and it took out S-300s, S-400s, all kinds of munitions. Maybe even tactical nukes.
I think the Russians are trying to hold back from literally going nuclear to see what happens with this election. And if Kamala Harris...
One would think so. I agree.
Yeah, and if Kamala Harris wins, our chances, which are already very high of a nuclear Armageddon, go up. If Donald Trump wins, they go down because Trump has made it clear that he doesn't want this conflict to continue and he doesn't feel that destroying Russia is part of what needs to happen. And
one of the big questions, too, William, is there are there factions at the global elite level? Or is it a unified force?
I think that the globalist faction that and Soros people who have taken over Ukraine through their coup know that Russia's holding back, and they're punching Russia in the gut. They're trying to provoke Russia, and they're trying to hit Russia in ways they wouldn't usually hit Russia because they know that Russia's trying to hold back.
I personally believe that they're highly likely that that was a cruise missile that was fired into Washington near the Joe Creek Naval Submarine Communications Base to send a message. Stop. We're getting real close here. Stop. The government will never admit that to us. But the USGS reported it as an other event. Now it's an earthquake. Something happened. I called the county sheriffs up there, and they wouldn't confirm or deny. So we can't give you any information out about that. Sorry, but I tried.
Well, every person out there with an earshot that wants to send the world and the Russians and everybody a message that we want to step back from the brink of nuclear war should go and vote for every Republican on the ticket.
I think the Russians know that. Nobody with a brain wants nuclear war. Sweden is now paying invaders up to $34,000 each to go home. Going back to Africa with $34,000 cash at your disposal. So they're trying to buy their way out of it.
At least the Swedes have changed direction.
Well, how many rapes? How many murders? Yeah.
Yeah, it's unfortunate so many people had to be raped in Stockholm and other places. And for them to start to wise up. But, you know, better to wise up and change eventually than to, you know, at least in Sweden, one party doesn't have the illegals all lined up to vote and take permanent control and pump in twice the amount. But that is the situation here in the United States. And there's
sad.
Several other places. Poland has kicked them out. Hungary has kicked them out. There's a lot
Hungary
of people.
Hungary is leading the way over there.
Yeah. There's several nations that are cracking down and getting and wise. Up. And you know what? That ought to give everybody hope that we can do something like that here.
Yeah, I agree.
It needs to happen.
It has to happen. It needs to. We're up against the wall. This is it. Thank you, William. Talk to you next week.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, good night. All right, we'll be back with more in just a few. Hang on. Yes, Sweden is paying up to $34,000 per invader to get them to go home. And Trump and Vance are talking about getting rid of, well, Trump said, and I quote, every single illegal alien deported. We'll see. Even if he gets within 10% of that, we'll all take it. Back in a minute.